Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for your great love towards us. Thank you so much for your long suffering. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your faithfulness. You truly love us. Even while we were yet sinners, you sent your only Son to die for us. That is even the beginning of your love. So, Father, tonight again, thank you for giving us the appetite for more of you. You are our heart cry. You are our desire. You are the reason we were created. So, Father, thank you for giving us a heart to continuously be hungry before you and be humble before you. Thank you for everyone on this line tonight. Thank you so much for your grace upon all of us. Thank you for what you're doing through your children. Thank you for their families. Thank you for their children. Thank you for their ministries. Father, again, we thank you that no labor for you is in vain. So tonight we ask again that you continue to equip us, empower us by your Spirit. Give us understanding as we live in this very troublesome, very trying times, that we will be those who will soar like eagles in the midst, O God, of our generation. Receive all the glory and honor for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good, and to God be all the glory. I'm always excited to know that we have this family, that we come together to always share together what the Spirit of the Lord is sharing with us. Amen. Tonight, I really have to follow up on something that we were sharing a few weeks ago, because there's a lot to that subject. And also the reason why I feel led to continue on what I'm about to share with you tonight are very important. Is because of the times we live in. We can see there's so much shaking going on, a very, very fearful shaking, if you really understand the nature of government. References have been made to what has happened in America in the past, and of course the nations of the world. This is such a prophetic season, and so we need to really stay on in prayer and continue to sustain the destiny of America on our knees and what God has in mind. Also, I believe this is a very special time, as God has been preparing all of us, all of you, to position us for such a time as this. As God begins to move, you'll be able to take your place and be an answer in your community and in the nation. But what I want to share with you tonight is something that after so many years, God is just, he builds upon it and reminds me that that's what he's doing. And it's really helped me a lot to embrace the ways of God. To really, really embrace the ways of God. And I pray that it will benefit all of us. Now, I was a few weeks ago, after one of our prayer meetings, probably one of our all-night prayer, I went home and I slept, and I had an amazing dream. And it's not anything really, but it was a dream that woke me up with an appreciation for what God, what I'm about to share with you tonight, about the character of God. But this dream, the summary of it was, I was in the church, in a congregation. I don't know what the congregation, but it was a church environment. And I was in the midst of, it's like the praise and worship people were preparing to go into a time of worship. And there's a lady I was watching, there's a lady among these people that was about to really reveal herself. But she noticed I was watching her, so she calmed down. And then she was talking to one of the worship leaders, and was warning them, said, you know what I can do to you, you know who I am, you know, and then she calmed down. But I was able to see through her a little bit. Then all of a sudden, the dream is in the same building, but it changed. It turned around a little bit, and I was sitting among some ministers. And the person sitting close to me is somebody I know very well. I know the person very well. And we're sitting in this congregation, and there was somebody behind me. I didn't really know the person. Then the person started kind of talking on the phone, and I was hearing. I was sitting in front of the person, and the person was doing business in the church. It was like using the phone, discussing money, but whatever it was a crooked business. But the person sitting by me realized that I was hearing that person, but I didn't know they were connected. So all of a sudden, the person sitting by me was observing that I was really discerning them. You know, I knew, I was sensing what was happening, that there's just a lot going on inside the church that was not of God. So the person looked at me. I've known this person, you know, maybe God was using this person as kind of a lesson. The person looked at me and stood up. And as the person stood up, it's like that's when I really looked at the person and said, are you really this person? And the person changed before I was just looking. This is a minister that has a lot of gifts and a lot of, amazing gift in his life. The person just stood up, looked at me, and literally in my presence turned to a snake. And I just shouted the name of the Lord, and I woke up after what happened in the dream. But the Lord started that night reminding me that in the last days there will be so many false people in the church. He used the word false prophets. And a lot of people, we manifest in the church and within the church that are not really of God. A lot of things that will happen in the last days, that even when it gets deeper, he says even the very elect will be deceived, you know, because of the miracles, the signs, and all this stuff. So God, after that, they reminded me again about what I'm about to share with you, about character, about the love of God, the nature of God. So tonight, I want to share something that you have been praying, you've been seeking God, but what you hear tonight is one of the reasons that sometimes you waited so long. It looks like, you know, some of the things you're waiting for have not happened, but they will happen. But this is one of the things God is doing inside of you that you don't realize. And I'm so thankful that God allowed me to see a little bit of this in what he's brought me through. So to understand the process of what I'm about to share with you, I want to use some illustrations. For example, the way God created the world, after God created, he started in Genesis, he said he started creating everything in the likeness of his kind, according to his kind. But then when he created man, he made man in his own image and likeness. So if he created everything according to his kind, meaning God put a specific DNA in everything he's created so that they will not be something else. So for example, when God created, let's say, an elephant is different from a lion. Then when he created the goat is different from the sheep. The sheep is different from a dog. A dog is different from a giraffe. All these different animals God created, what differentiates them is their DNA. What makes, no matter how much an elephant is close to a lion, or a lion is close to a dog is close to a goat, they cannot duplicate themselves. A dog can never give birth to a lion. A lion can never give birth to an elephant. Everything is produces after itself. Everything is made in their kind, in their likeness. So the only way you know a dog is because a dog looks like other dogs. The only way you know an elephant looks like other elephants. Their DNA produces their likeness. They look the same. The only way you know a giraffe is because they look like a giraffe. So everything, when they are mature, they look alike. They preserve. Then God, again, in the Bible, uses a lot of illustrations, stories, and parables. A lot he uses in with trees. If you look at the trees, they produce fruit. The trees can look alike, the leaves can look alike, the branches can look alike, but what separates the DNA, the very character of a tree, is their fruit. So a mango can never, you can never find a mango in a, on an apple tree. You can never find apple on a pear tree. You can never find pear on a grape tree, on a fig tree. Everything, God designed it to give us a message. So no matter from Genesis to Revelation, we can choose to deceive ourselves. But everything God has created gives us a message that they produce after their kind. So God says, man must be made in the image and likeness of God. So God, knowing the fullness of his work, he knew that man, the first Adam, with the fault. So we have what they call the fall, or the default of man, the sin, the fall. So from that point, the first man God created, the flesh man, there was a default. Amen? There was a default. Okay. Somebody has an echo on the line. Okay. All right. Okay. So there was a default. And so now, what God originally did is now out of line. So the only way, the fruit that the fallen man produces now does not look like God, because it's been polluted. So God now had to come in the flesh, became flesh, God himself, and came with a totally brand new DNA. That's the word of God. The God himself, his very nature, that's the word of God, became flesh. And then, after his death, you know, we all know, God now restored and gave man the opportunity now, through the blood of Jesus, a totally new brand DNA, to make it to heaven, to be a new creature. So this is the condition Jesus gave about the reality of this new nature. So that anybody that does not accept this new DNA, this blood, this salvation, cannot make it to heaven. Cannot. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a man be born again, you have to be born. You've been born before, but that's defaulted. That's faulted now. That's corrupted. So he says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom or inherit the things of the kingdom. So we have to be born again. Why? We are now born again, where the very seed, the very DNA of God is now planted in us. But it doesn't stop there. Now, I want to read some scriptures now, after using those illustrations. I want to read a few scriptures to give us more understanding on what the Lord is about to reveal to us tonight. I want to read from the book of James, and I want to use the position of a farmer. God uses that a lot. So in James chapter 5, this is what he wrote, James wrote. I read from verse 7. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, or the farmer,
waited for the precious fruit, not fruits, for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience. That word long patience means long suffering. And had long patience, long suffering for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be you therefore also patient, establishing your heart, for the coming of the Lord was near. So here he's using the farmer as an example. He says that in the case of a farmer, God is giving us an amazing mystery. He says the farmer conceives a plan in his heart. And this farmer sits and says, okay, I really desire to have apples. And that's what I desire. And I want to cultivate this apple. And I want to have apple fruits. So the farmer buys a land, has a farm, puts a lot of expenses into this land. And then the farmer cultivates the land, buys the seeds, he plants apple seeds on this farm. And he says the farmer will wait patiently, knowing that the time of planting is different from the time of harvest. So there is a timeline that God has designed for seed and harvest time to manifest. So that timeline is a waiting period the Bible calls long suffering. It produces long suffering, the patience. So you say the farmer waits with expectation. With expectation, not just waiting, with expectation. And then he waits for the rain, the early and the latter. And then later, what is the farmer waiting for? The farmer is waiting for the desire of his heart. The farmer is waiting for the vision, the thing he's dreamed in his heart that he wants to enjoy. And that's the precious fruit that he had in mind and he planted. That's one illustration. We'll get back to that. I want to read another scripture that will help us again to connect this to us, to where we're going. This time I'm reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I'll read from verse 12. It says that you be not slothful or sluggish, but followers of them. So there are examples that have been set before us. Followers of them who through faith and patience. That word patience there is the same word for long suffering, endurance. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That we be not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after Abraham had patiently endured, meaning Abraham has long suffering has manifested, he obtained the promise. He manifested the promise. So God has spoken, and the word of God can never change. God says there are conditions that promises demand for them to manifest. All the promises of God are yes, and they are amen. They are done, they are finished, is guaranteed. But there is a demand, just like when you put seed on the ground, there is a demand it puts on the soil. And that seed something begins to happen to that seed. And with time, that little seed brings forth its glorious trees and fruit. At the end, it brings forth fruit. Something that was planted. The same way God says, the promises that God has given man, he plants them into the dysfunctional flesh nature, the fallen nature, the defaulting nature. But for this seed, for these promises to come to pass, it has to be connected to the born again mind. It has to do with the born again mind. It has to do with faith. It has to do with patience. It has to do with a process of growth, a process of waiting. So, because we as humans, because of the fallen nature, we don't have faith as a fallen nature. That's not our fruit. The fruit, the works of the flesh, you can see it in Galatians, is totally opposite. So because that, we don't have the nature of God as fleshly people, we don't understand how God manifests his promises unless we're born again. But then after we're born again, as believers, it's still a mystery to us, and that's why God uses this illustration. So this is what happens. When you plant a seed in the ground, something begins to happen to the seed. But that seed is programmed to produce fruit. When the soil, you do the part, the rain does its part, that thing eventually produces fruit. It will bring its result because it's programmed. So the same way, when God gave promise to Abraham, it was a promise that came from the presence of the Lord, the throne of God. It cannot be manifested through human strength. So that's word was sown, like the way you sow seed in the ground, that word was sown into Abraham's fleshly life. So now God has to use that seed to produce fruit. That word God gave to Abraham was, Abraham will be father of nation. Supernatural. But for Abraham to manifest the promise of God, it has to produce fruit. Abraham's life has to produce fruit. So now, for that fruit to manifest, God has to allow that word to try Abraham in the flesh. What is it? What is trial? It's just the human nature, human personality, not understanding the ways of God. The suffering that comes from it, the pain that comes from it, the misunderstanding, that the confusion the flesh man has receiving the things of God. That's just the suffering. But the timing of waiting, the endurance, all these are what we don't understand. So Abraham had to be the father of faith. So God used Abraham as an example for us. Somebody which will follow if we want to understand kingdom principles. So Abraham receives this word. It fell on his soil. He was 75 years old. He waited the first year, no child. Waited the second year, no child. After a while, Abraham tries thinking, should he my servant be? As a human, he started figuring things out. How is this going to be? Then God, he encountered God, said, no, it's not going to be your servant. It's going to be you. Then after a while, Sarah's womb was dying. And they were going through this. How can this be? We're humans. We're trying to see this. But God has spoken. It's like a seed in the ground. That seed is coming forth. But that seed, the flesh has to die. Because a seed does not produce until it dies. So Abraham is being tested now. So finally Sarah's womb died. And now when Sarah's womb died, the natural man finally came to a dead end. That is the highest reason a man can go. It's over. The womb is dead. The problem is, it cannot be Sarah. But see, a corn of wheat cannot reproduce unless it dies. So supernaturally, God is saying flesh and blood cannot inherit the things of God. So Sarah's womb died. Now Sarah is now ripe for the word of God to come forth. But we're humans. We cannot receive, cannot understand. But what did God do? God allowed time to produce patience in Abraham. Now, to understand that, because it's so deep, God revealed this to James. In the book of James chapter 1, as the church was going through different kinds of persecution, suffering, they didn't understand what God was doing. James wrote to them, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you go through various trials for the trying of your faith. See, God is saying, I want to know if your faith is authentic. if this is my, if you really have my character, my fruit in you, if it's authentic, you will not give up on my promise to you. So I'm going to test you. I'm going to take you through things to see if your faith is authentic, if you're genuine, really have the seed of Christ in you. So James says, count it joy going through this. Nobody counts it joy. I don't count it joy. But after understanding came to Paul, after many years, Paul started seeing what God was doing. Because one particular instant, God told Paul, I'm not going to take the problem away. I know you don't understand what I'm doing, the purging, the pride, the killing, but Paul, I'm not going to take it away. I will give you grace. I will give you strength. I will empower you with my presence so that you can see what I'm doing. Because when you're weak, that's my strength. You're maturing your spiritual man. And that's what I'm looking for. So James says, the trials we go through are to manifest patience, to build patience, to bring forth patience in us. He says, let your patience be perfected so that you be entire lacking nothing. What does that mean? It means, he said, let your patience be perfect, meaning let long suffering be born. What is long suffering? That's why we're looking at the scripture we're looking at today. Because in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible talks about the default fallen man, the character of the default man, the one that has fallen. Then God says, that's flesh. But the one God is planted now through Christ, that God is looking for, the one that God is preparing for heaven, the one God is looking for, he says, must produce fruit. This is the fruit. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then love has characteristics. He said, it's love, it's joy, it's peace. Then it's long suffering. Then it's goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. But the one we are majoring on today is long suffering. The reason is, long suffering is the only part of the fruit of the Spirit that has to do with timing. The timing of God, the timing of the farmer, the timing when the fruit, you have to wait from the seed time to harvest time. Long suffering is what God did with Abraham. He knew when this, but he used time to produce, to kill Sarah's womb and bring forth the promise. He used time in Joseph's life to kill Joseph's flesh so that Joseph can come forth with the promise. He used time in the days of Moses. Moses spent 40 years. His flesh was dead. For God to bring forth the seed, the promise that he gave to Moses. Time. So long suffering is the aspect of the fruit of spirit that God uses as a measurement of time, as a measurement of when something is coming into its maturity, into its place of completeness. Long suffering. Because it's the attribute of God's character that it gives you a taste of timelessness. Long suffering is that aspect of God's character that has no time when it comes to the word of God. In other words, when God speaks, long suffering says it's over. Long suffering is the fruit of the Spirit that if God speaks today, you will wait for it, even if it's 100 years it takes to come, even if it's 20 years. There is no doubt in you. Because long suffering is. But before you get to that level, God will use various trials, various situations to manifest that perfect patience. That's called maturity in the spirit. The reason why when we leave this fleshly body, we'll live forever is because we have long suffering. Long suffering is more the understanding we have of that fruit of the Spirit, but it's love. It's that aspect of God that is one with the word of God that is unchangeable. Long suffering is the ability to believe whatever God says without changing. You cannot change. Every other thing can change, but the word of God cannot change. Long suffering is that fruit of the Spirit that will keep you, whether it's 20 years, you cannot change. You've entered into a place of faith that you and God has become one in timing, in waiting on God. So that's why everything we go through, God will always say, do not be weary in well doing, because in due season, in God's timing, there will be a harvest. God does not promise you what he cannot deliver. The only thing that aborts the promise of God is lack of waiting, lack of long suffering. And that's the character of faith that we don't have. Once faith is not mixed with patience, you cannot produce the fruit. So the reason we have to wait, and God trains people to wait, is to produce patience. And when God has matured long suffering in us, you will believe God for anything, and you wait, and things will start happening. That's why I said last time, after God tried Abraham and produced long suffering, then God said, let me show you now who you are inside of you. Say, go sacrifice your son. Abraham obeyed. God gave him 3 days to change his mind. He did not change his mind. Why? Because Abraham finally saw, after many years, what God has done with a dead womb. He gave birth to a son. So Abraham realized that time does not make any difference with God when God has spoken. And so Abraham now believed God. And the Bible says he was imputed to him for righteousness, meaning he is walking with God. And then when Abraham was to sacrifice his son, God finally says, no, Abraham, don't do it. Why? God already knew Abraham would not do it, but he wanted to show Abraham the maturity he has stepped into. That Abraham now is not just a friend, but Abraham is now acting like God. He has the fruit of God in him. The same thing God would do with his son down the road, to sacrifice his only son, Abraham was able to do while he was in the earth, because now he has the character of God. If you look at all the great men that God set apart and took years after he's given them dreams and promises, if you watch them, they only do what God instructs them to do. Because now they are able to wait only on God. They're able to receive from God. And they have the long suffering, the patience to wait until God says, do this, do that. Go. It's not something that we have as a nature. It's something we develop. Not everybody has ability to wait on God. Some people, God gives them $1,000 tomorrow or $100,000. They will just run out and do something. They don't say, God, what is it for? We don't have the capacity. If God gives ministry, people are just wrong. So this is what is bringing me to the reason James says the trying, the things we go through, is a manufacturing place for our patience, which is the measurement of spiritual maturity to develop in us. And when that is developed, it's easy to wait on God. That's the difference between Saul and David. Now, I want to read a final scripture to really summarize the whole reason for sharing this. I want to read to you a very familiar scripture. So you see that, what is God looking for? God is a farmer in the story we read in James. He says, as a farmer, I have long suffering. This is what my patience, my desire. I created the universe. But I have a desire. And that desire, I have planted it in the earth. And I planted it in the heart of man. And I'm waiting patiently to see this thing come forth. To see this fruit come forth. Just like a farmer waits patiently. What is God looking for in your life? What is God looking for in my life? What is God patiently looking for? I want to read it to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, and though I have the gifts of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, that's the gift of faith, so that I can move mountains, and I have not God, I have not love, I am nothing. He's talking about, is it possible for somebody to be this gifted and powerful and does not have God's DNA? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, everybody will get up and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Now, God, Paul is trying to tell us here, love is not just words. Paul now says, you have gifts, you are in church, God is using you, you are performing miracles, great things are happening, you are serving a ministry, all this wonderful thing is happening. But he says, all these gifts, all this ministry work, if God does not find what he's looking for in you, you are not of his. So Paul says, let me show you what God is looking for. Because he just mentioned all these great gifts, all these great things. But he said, Paul says, let me show you what God is looking for inside of you. So that if you, elephant sees elephant, he says, that's an elephant. If lion sees lion, he says, that's lion. If goat sees goat, he says, that's goat. He said, let me show you what looks like God. He says, love is long-suffering. Love suffereth long. And it's not, and it's kind, meaning gentle. Love envieth not. Love is not puffed up, does not vouch itself. Love keeps no records of evil. Love is not rudely. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It does not seek its own. It's not focused on me, my. It's not easily provoked. Love does not, of course, focus on evil. It does not rejoice in evil, iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. But this is the aspect I want to bring to you that the Lord has been dealing with me, is the measuring yardstick for love. Verse 7, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Look at the last word he said about love. In this context, verse 8, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, whether they will fail, whether there be tongues, they will cease, whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. He went further to say, we should never equate gifts, miracles, wonders, the work of ministry with the fruit. The only thing that God is longing for is exactly his own DNA. Just like a farmer waits for one thing alone. I need this apple. I have waited. I spent my whole life to have apple fruit. And put it, he cannot wake up one morning and apple is on orange. Turns to orange. It can happen. He must have apple. So the same way God is saying, I sowed love. This is what love looks like, and love is the only thing I'm going to reap. So, in Matthew 7, Jesus talked about ministry. From verse chapter 5, the Beatitudes, talked about all the great things, talked about the different laws and stuff, but he was closing, he says, beware of false prophets. In other words, he's saying, be careful about your focus. He says, beware of false prophets. Why? He says, that come to you in sheep clothing. Meaning, they are in church. Somebody can come in church and smell like church, look like church. But again, he's a prophet. What do I mean by prophet? They are gifted. Go to Corinthians and see how Paul suffered in the hands of false prophets that come to just destroy. He says they come as angels of light. Paul suffered so much, but he had to use his life to give them an example. When they were distorting money, said, I will not take money. When they do this, Paul had to live opposite to show Corinthians, say, beware. These are apostles of Satan. He literally mentioned it. Here Jesus is warning. He says, they come to you with sheep clothing. Do not follow signs and wonders. He says, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Then he said, every tree is known by its fruit. He repeated the book of, again, a farmer's life. You know a tree by the fruit. Again, he's saying, go after fruit. He said, because an apple tree cannot produce an orange fruit. He says, so in the last days, many are going to stand before him, then it's already late. And they will say, our focus was miracles. Our focus was healing. Our focus was signs and wonders. We did all these great things. That's their focus. But God says, there's no fruit of my will in your life. Our DNA was not the same. Our agenda was not the same. So my brothers and sisters, we live in a time where all that God has been working in all of you, that sometimes you think what other people have, you don't. What? No. See, David waited. David suffered in waiting for his time to come. So I believe that all that you've been praying and waiting and seeking, just know that God has a due season for every one of you. But all he wants through the waiting process, through the endurance in waiting, you're faithful, you're praying, you're seeking God, you're fasting, you're serving. But people are saying, but I don't see fruit. No, my sisters, they are saying, I don't see the worldly standard of fruit. I don't see your cars, I don't see your house, I don't see all the mirror. No, but God is looking at the long suffering, the fruit of patience, the endurance, the things you've endured, but you're still serving God. The things you've endured, what is God doing? Like Abraham, is producing in you what he's looking for. When your due season come overnight, God will give you all those natural things. They will chase after you. I see that happening. It will chase after you. Now, you don't labor for them, you inherit them. You begin to inherit them. The difference between inheritance and work is, inheritance is something that God just drops in your lap. God releases. You don't work for it. You begin to walk in it. You begin to receive them. But the other is you labor for it. When your due season come, you start inheriting things. That's miracle. So my brothers and sisters, be not weary in well-doing. God's time for you, we are almost there. Whatever you're believing God for, God has vowed by his word. His promises are yes to you. Just endure with expectation and stand firm after you've done all. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. Keep fasting. Don't worry. Your day is just at hand. And God is really found fruit in you. And that's what God is dealing with me, is fruit. God says, focus on character. Focus on fruit, not on gifts, not on what you see. Those will come after. So be encouraged, because our due season is upon us. Be encouraged so that you will not be among those, God will say, all these tongues and miracles and faith, you move mountains, you did all these wonderful things, but he says you're nothing. Nothing means there is nothing that looks like me in you. Love is not there, because you don't have patience. You don't trust me that what I've spoken will come to pass. So Father, I thank you so much for your wisdom, your ways that you're molding in us. Father, you know how difficult this is. The greatest thing I suffered is waiting, is depending, is waiting, is almost impossible without your grace. But now, Father, I see your wisdom. There is nothing like having your heart. There is nothing. All you desire is just for us to have your character, your love. And every other thing will come. So we thank you, especially in this troublesome time. Give us the grace to just relax and wait for you to do your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before I hand over to Sister Billy, we also realize that the reason Paul says be not weary in well doing is because sometimes we go through some wearing times, some difficult times, as we wait on the things of God. So we begin to question, why is this, why is that, what is that? So just to encourage one another, we feel like we're praying for the destiny of America, we're praying for the destiny of the church, we're praying for various areas of the vision of God that God has given to us, but we feel it's time to encourage one another and sometimes to dedicate some time of prayer just for your personal needs, to to stand with you, to pray through with you, just personal needs, not just praying for America, praying for vision, praying for the church. We want to pray for your family. We want to pray for whatever areas as God leads. So we are going to be dedicating. We have 4 or 5 days in the, we have every week we have a prayer line, the ESLPM prayer line, every Thursday from 9 to 10. Every Thursday, we have that. We have different people leading that, praying into that. So we want to start dedicating the last Thursday of every month. The last Thursday of every month. We want to devote it to just praying through with you. You know, taking, we will pray over the needs of your family, the needs of your life, prophetically. In many ways, we're going to be praying, and we believe in God for deliverance, for healing, for breakthroughs. Pastor Peace and Sister Billy, we've discussed all this. Pastor Peace will just briefly, for time, I think I took too much time. Just briefly, just establish again what this prayer will look like, and then let's turn it to Sister Billy so we can close on time. Thank you so much. Thank you all. God bless you.